Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now and we thank you and praise you for your holy name. God, we just know that you're greater than anything. Lord, that you're more powerful. Lord, that you're the greatest thing around, Lord. And we just wish that we would realize that every second of every day, Lord, and that we would give you all the honor, praise, and glory that's due you. God, we thank you this Easter day that we can face tomorrow because you live. And God, we know that you're awesome because no one can raise anybody from the dead but you. God, we just, no matter what anybody says, it just can't be done. Lord, you're the one that does it all. And we thank you for that, and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Every day should be a celebration of Jesus Christ and his rising from the grave and his what he's done for us. And so as we continue in James, I'm going to continue in this section, James 3. And we didn't really get through to section 3, 13 through 18, and then we're going to try to go into James 4 a little bit. I know James is a tough book, but it's a very practical book. I guess the bottom line is, you know, as I prayed about it and thought about it, and, you know, I felt like, well, maybe I ought to do an Easter message, but the bottom line is James is so practical and it's so real for everyday living that the things that are in here, if we do these things, we will glorify and we will honor Christ by the way we lived. And we were talking about the test of wisdom, heavenly wisdom versus earthly wisdom. And we talked about earthly wisdom was from man. And we talked about heavenly wisdom comes from above. And it comes from God, James 1:17. And it comes by prayer. James 1:5-8, he says, ask for wisdom, and God will give it to you liberally, without reproach. And then we said that the difference in their characteristics, that earthly wisdom was full of bitterness, full of self-seeking, that it was a wisdom that wanted such things as power, prestige, privilege, fame, fortune, those kind of things. That's the wisdom that the earth, that comes from earth, from humans, from people. And they say, just get what you can, any way you can, no matter what you have to do to get it. And that's what prompted Satan and his angels to rebel against God, is they thought they could have it all. They thought they could be like God. They saw something. They coveted it. They lusted after it, and they wanted it. And they said, Satan said four times, I will, I will, I will. You know, and that's when we get in trouble, is when we say, I will. Because we need to submit every desire, everything that we think, everything that we do, totally and completely to Jesus Christ. And we need to put our thoughts and our mind and our body under subjection. And then only then can we live a proper and right life. We got to the point where started talking about heavenly wisdom. Part of that's in verse 17. And he says, James 3:17, he says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And in verse 18, he says, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So you see, it says here, talks about heavenly wisdom. And it sort of sounds like the fruit of the Spirit, doesn't it? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Against such there is no law, Galatians 5:22 and 5:23. It sort of sounds like that. It says it's pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality. It says, first of all, that it's pure, uncontaminated by the worldly desires. You know, and if we stay pure, by keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ and we keep our thoughts and our mind pure, then we can really, truly live a life that's pleasing to Jesus Christ. And so he says that it's true to God's will. You know, when we're in harmony with God and when we're truly doing what he wants us to do, that's when we're happy. We're not happy when we're doing these other things. Yeah, we might get some temporary pleasure, and yeah, we do them because we like to sin. But the bottom line is that temporary, that pleasure is temporary. Because that temporary pleasure, usually all the things that pleasure brings usually get us in trouble one way or another. You know, God's not some cosmic killjoy that sits up there and says, I don't want you to do this because I don't want you to have any fun in life. He says, I don't want you to do these things because I love you and I don't want you to hurt yourself. I don't want you to get in trouble. I don't want you to be out of will. And I don't want you to have a bad life. But if you stay in my will, then you can have a life that is better. He says that we have life and life more abundantly. And Solomon said it best, that he searched for everything, had all the money and all this stuff. He could spend more money than we ever thought about having. And he says that all was vanity. He said the chief end of man is to glorify and praise God forever. But anything other than that was pure vanity, that it didn't mean anything. And you know, and if we all admit it, that when we're pursuing our own things, when we're trying to do our own thing, that we're really never truly happy. You know, before I came to Christ, I was always searching for something to make me happy, to make me fulfilled, to make me feel like I was somebody. And we all search for the wrong things, and those are the things that get us in trouble, that hurt us. You know, when I came to Christ, I found out that I had true fulfillment, that I could be happy in Christ. And that He would make me happy. He would make me content. He would give me peace. We're to be true to God's will. And if we're pure, I'm not saying we're always going to be pure. We're not perfect. We're in this flesh. And this flesh desires to do things that we don't want to do. But, you know, we're to desire the truth. We desire God's will. And so if we do that, then we'll be happy. We'll be blessed. We'll be peace. We'll have peace. We'll have true contentment. And I'm not saying that everything's always going to be perfect for you. I talked to a guy the other day, and he says, I gave my life to Christ. And he said, things still aren't going my way. I said, listen, you know, God's not up there to make your life go your way. He's here to make you more like Him. I said, Joseph was in jail 2 years. Because he supposedly raped Potiphar's wife. But God had a purpose in him being there. And so I said, you know, whatever God brings you your way, you know, He brings it for a reason. He brings it to make you like Him. He brings it so that you can one day fulfill a purpose that He has for you. He might put you in a holding pattern. He might put you somewhere where you don't want to be. But if you're dependent on God and just say, not my will, but thine be done, He'll give you a peace about it. And He'll show you down the road one day what that purpose was. I can look back in my life at things and places I didn't want to be, that I felt like that I was just trapped. But you know, I look back now and I see the purposes God had for me. I see His will for me. And I see where I'm at today because of those things. And if I'd have never gone through those things, I wouldn't be here today. I don't know where I would be. So we need to be submissive to God's will. And so it says it's pure, first of all. Then it says that it's peaceable. That we need to be at peace with everybody as much as we can be. It says in Romans 12:18, that we need to be at peace with everybody as much as we can. Now, we're not going to get along with everybody. Some people are never going to let you get along with them. So you just stay away from those people. You try as hard as you can, and then if they don't want to get along with you, just avoid them. Try to stay away from them. Try to not to confront them. And it says that we need to speak the truth in an attitude of love. That's Ephesians 4:15. And then we need to be gentle. You know, when we're gentle, we have the authority. A lot of times we have the authority, the power to do something to other people. But being gentle is withholding that power. It's sort of like meekness, not doing what we have the ability or the power to do, to hurt somebody, to take something from somebody, to do something to them, make them do something that we want them to do just because we want our way. It says in 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so they may know the truth." You see, in withholding that argument from somebody and not arguing with them and being peaceful with them, who knows, we may lead them to Christ. There's a song that we didn't sing today, but I love that song. It's kind of the theme of my ministry. Love lifted me. When nothing else would help, love lifted me. I read something at my sister's house today that was on the wall. When people are the least deserving of mercy and love, that's when they need love the most. It's usually because they're lashing out because things aren't going that way. And so usually it's not something against you. It's not something against me, but they're hurting inside and they need somebody, something to help them. And if we can point them to Christ, or we can help them out in their life, then that's what God wants us to do. And then he says we need to be willing to yield here. Not in matters of truth, not in biblical doctrine, not, you know, on the sufficiency of Scripture, the virgin birth, the resurrection, the bodily resurrection from Christ. You know, we may want to, about meats and stuff. He said, don't fight with somebody over eating meats sacrificed to idols. There's some things in the Bible I may not agree with you about, and you may not agree with me about. But things like the virgin birth, Christ was all man, he was all God, the sufficiency of Scripture, those are the kind of things that we need to be willing to go to the wall about, because those are truth. And we can't bend on those, because the Bible says if we don't believe those, I don't believe that we're saved if we don't come to a knowledge of those somewhere down the road. But in matters of opinion, we can yield some on that. Says Romans 14:1, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things." And in matters of liberty, Romans 14:19 through 21, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat or drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak." We don't need to be doing anything that's going to cause others to stumble. We don't need to act in any way that's going to cause other people to say, oh, there's another one of those so-called Christians. They're hypocrites. Yeah, we're not perfect. We're forgiven. But you know, that's not an excuse. We need to do the best we can with the help of God. And we need to realize that we're not going to be perfect. But yet, we don't need to be going out there and living like everybody else does so they can see a difference in our life. And then he says they're full of mercy. We need to be quick to forgive other people's offenses. We need to remember what God did for us. You know, he gave us his grace. God's riches is Christ's expense. But you know what mercy is? Mercy is withholding what we deserve. We all deserve death and hell and damnation. But he withheld that because he loved us. And we've been forgiven so much. So can't we forgive others? I mean, if Christ did it for me, and he forgave me so much, all the things that I've done, and most of the things that we get mad with people about are so trivial anyway, can't we forgive them? And then he says also, producing good fruits. He talks about that we're to show our conduct in verse 13. That our works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Who is wise and understanding? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. By the way we live, we show people that Christ is living in us. And then this wisdom is going to take us from being not only a hearer, but a doer of the word. Because he says that faith without works is dead. So we need to have those things in our life. We're not saved by works, but Ephesians 2:10 says we're saved unto good works. We're saved to do good works. And because we've been saved, we will do good works if we've truly been saved. And then we need to be without partiality here. You remember earlier in James, he talked about not showing partiality to anybody, no matter what their station in life, no matter how poor they are, no matter how rich they are, no matter what the color is, no matter what. We don't show partiality. We treat everybody the same. And we're supposed to love everybody the same. And that's what God did for us. He didn't die for just the rich. He didn't die just for the poor. He didn't die for the black. Didn't die for the white. He died for all of us. Anybody that would believe in Jesus Christ. So if we truly are born again, we will be like He is, and we will be without partiality. Yes, I will love you because Christ lives in me, and you will love me because Christ lives in you. And we will set all our differences aside as best as we can, because we need to love each other, because unity is what we need. I mean, that's what the problem with the church is now today. People are so at odds with each other. You know, they want to have all the different churches. And I understand there's differences in doctrine, and I can't be with churches, and I can't join with those churches because they don't believe what I believe. But if there's a church that I believe, that I'm in, and I believe the same thing that others believe, we need to be able to get together and love each other. We need to be without hypocrisy too. We don't need to be putting on fronts for people. We don't need to be fakes, putting on acts, trying to show off and trying to look good to everybody. We need to show. We need to be transparent. We need to be real. We need to show others what is inside of us. Because as long as we're on a level up here somewhere talking about the weather or the rain, you know, we've done nothing. But when I really get down and I get to know you and you get to know me, I find out that I'm like you and you're like me. You know, the devil separates us because he makes us think I'm the only one that has that problem. Or all these people are the same. All of this race are the same. Or all this kind of rich people are the same. Or all these poor people are the same. But that's how the devil separates us. But if we can look at each other as true people and give each other a chance, then we can find out that people are truly lovable. You know, not everybody is. Not everybody's going to be lovable. But, you know, we can get along with most people if we try. And so he says that heavenly wisdom also produces peace instead of confusion in verse 18. Confusion. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. When you're all stressed out and worried and thinking about things, that's coming from the devil. You know, if you got a decision to make, and you can't, you're just all stressed and knotted up about it, and you've prayed about it, and you've told God about it, and you're thinking of doing one thing, that's probably not the right thing to do if you're that stressed out about it. Because God is not the author of confusion. If it's a right decision, you'll have a peace about that decision. I guess the question is what kind of wisdom do we have today? Do we have earthly wisdom? Do we do what we want to do? Do we just do whatever feels good? Just do it? Or do we have heavenly wisdom? To do that, we have to depend on God. We have to be dependent on God. We can't do it ourselves. And we have to work hard with His help to live a life that's pleasing to Him and do the right things. And we need to demonstrate that wisdom by the way we live. The heavenly wisdom is like Mark 16:15, going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In 28:19-20, he says, go therefore and all and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. And he says, and lo, I'm with you until the end. We need to remember that. The heavenly wisdom is the kind of wisdom that keeps us straight in this world, but earthly wisdom gets us in trouble.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Those in the nursing home facilities are locked up in bodies that do not work, in a wheelchair, and a bed. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems. Some have told us we want to have a real family because their parents have lost or given up custody of them. Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up at the jails and the prisons, to those locked up in addictions, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, to those locked up in a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us abundant life, joy, and set us free, and these people that we minister to are not free. Our desire is to show them, whatever their background, no matter what they've done, to see how much God loves them. We seek to help them receive forgiveness and freedom from their sin in Jesus Christ. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham area. We have recently expanded our ministry to the Lexington, Columbia, South Carolina area. We do over 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you will support us in some way that so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button, or send it via regular mail to Post Office Box 1881, Lexington, South Carolina 29071. We hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you and God bless you. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8:32. Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Some are locked up in bodies that don't work and in a nursing home facility, in the wheelchair, the bed they cannot get out of. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems or their parents. They aren't doing right, and their cries, "We want to have a real family." Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up in the jail and the prison, to those locked up in addictions to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, and a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us life and to set us free, and these folks are not free, but we can set them free through Christ Jesus, at least in their minds and their spirits. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham. We do about 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you'll support us in some way so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button, and we hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you and God bless you.